This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital. I've earned capital in this election, and I'm going to spend it for what I told the people I'd spend it on, which is, you've heard the agenda, Social Security and tax reform, moving this economy forward, education, fighting and winning the war on terror.
President Bush speaking at his first post-election press conference at the White House on Thursday. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And the president won more votes than any other man who's ever run for president. And so did, in fact, Senator Kerry, except he didn't win as many as President Bush did this time. President says he's humbled and feels a sense of responsibility to those who supported him, but also an obligation to reach out to those who opposed him. What do you foresee for a second term?
Well, as to the reaching out, I imagine he'll reach out to the Democrats the way he reaches out to NATO, saying, this is what I plan to do, and I'm looking for your support. We have yet to see one who really will compromise, nor does he need to compromise on very much with the Democrats, considering the position that he's in. He himself ticked off the main points of his agenda. Translates creating jobs, that translates into more tax cuts, strengthening Social Security, that translates into partly privatizing Social Security, get rid of needless paperwork, deregulation, extending school examinations into the high schools, and reforming the, quote, outdated tax code, unquote, which translates into some new tax system, perhaps with elements of sales tax or value-added tax. But he has his program.
I have to ask, and I made a list, a strictly political question that's in a lot of people's minds. All the stars seem to be aligned for the Democrats by the time you got to Election Day. You had a low approval rating for the president, sputtering economy, lingering war. Half the books on the bestseller list, I noticed the Sunday before, bluntly assailing the president's intelligence and integrity. Every day, some kind of political bombshell, it seemed. From Paul Bremer saying there weren't enough troops, to missing weapons, Osama bin Laden saying, yoo-hoo, I'm not here. The debates went well for Senator Kerry.
Grave, the treatment of prisoners. You could list a whole lot of things, yes.
Why did the Democrats not win?
I guess the Democrats didn't win because you can't beat a program with a non-program. What Senator Kerry brought was a vision, a sense of where he would like America to be, but not spelled out in the kind of detail. And I imagine that in the end, with a change enough to turn a 50-50 nation into a 51-48 nation, apparently they relied too much on exit polls, which turned out not to have it quite right. Mm-hmm. I've been deputized by the Association of Exit Pollsters and Pundits to say we got it wrong.
Well, that raises the question. There was so much speculation, supposedly informed, about what issues would resonate with the American people, jobs, homeland security, the war in Iraq. With the advantage of several days' hindsight, what issues did seem to strike home?
I don't know. I know less with hindsight than I knew before. I thought I knew that it was a question of Americans got taken by values, and that values are more important to them than specific things. I'm no longer so sure of that. It may well be that the exit pollsters, when they asked people what motivated your vote and listed values as one of the possible answers, mm-hmm. that if you ask me, am I in favor of values or not, you can imagine I'm in favor of values.
Yeah.
I think it's time for people who have to make these decisions and who got this really so wrong to say, what is it about the way we try to find out what people are thinking? Why don't we find out better?
Mm-hmm. A quick question. Changes in the Bush cabinet in the second term that you anticipate?
Well, it is generally understood, expected, that Colin Powell is going to leave before the beginning of the next term. Mm-hmm. For the rest, the president himself says he doesn't plan very many changes, that he's fairly well pleased with the team that he has. You know, it is a tradition that the president reelected asks for everybody's resignation and then decides to pick and choose the resignations he wants to accept. There may be fewer this time than usual because the president says, gee, I got a good team. I'll stick with it.
Any prominent Democrats might get included. Senator Nunn's name is often bruited about.
Yes, there are Democrats. I don't know why this speculation has started on the fact on his having Democrats, because he had one or two Democrats, because President Clinton had a Republican, Secretary of Defense Cohen, so on. I think we're going to have to wait and see what he does, because I'm not sure I know.
Of course, a big story this week that will only get larger. Yasser Arafat lays critically ill. His departure from the world stage is certain to have major effects and implications for Israel, for Palestinians, and for the United States. What are some of the implications you see this week?
Well, now, the first problem is going to be, if and when he dies, where he's going to be buried. Mm-hmm. He is asked to be buried in Jerusalem. And Sharon says, over my dead body.
Perhaps they can have adjoining plots at some point.
And we will not be in Jerusalem. It will have to be somewhere in Gaza. And so there's going to be, first of all, a great deal of fighting back and forth about where he's going to be buried. Mm-hmm. Thereafter, it's a question of getting a Palestinian authority that commands respect. And there are suggestions being made that before next year, when Gaza is supposed to be turned over to the Palestinians, that there be a Palestinian-wide election to select, to get a really elected authority, and one with which Israel can deal and maybe the United States can deal. I think all of that is now up to be seen.
Okay. And, of course, in Iraq, Iraqi forces and U.S. Marines are preparing to launch another assault on Fallujah, which is a typified, often called an insurgent stronghold. Some 10,000 troops reportedly have massed there. Review for us what's at stake near now for U.S. and U.S. policy, and also for the Alawi government in Iraq, as we look forward to elections there.
Well, it is indeed, as we're looking forward to elections, that counts. That if Fallujah continues to be held by insurgents, an important city like that, it really makes it difficult to accept the authenticity of the election. And therefore, the decision has been made that they've got to exert control over Fallujah and a couple of other places where there's fighting going on if there are going to be elections. There may be some effort by the Sunni Muslims who are involved in this. There may be some effort made to negotiate some kind of deal. But at the moment, it looks like a big attack.
Because we have the time, do you mind if I go back to the elections for a while?
No.
What are the Democrats going through this week? What are they thinking about their future?
The Democrats, I guess, have to meet.
Are they a national party when they can't win a single southern state?
Well, you know, 51 is a lot, but 48 isn't a small thing either. Yeah. They are a party. They are the opposition party. They cannot use, they will not be able to use their veto in the Senate very well anymore, because there are now 55 Republican votes, and all they need is a couple of splitting off a couple of Democrats, and they have that. But nothing is forever. And for Democrats, I'm sure, as they get together and look over what their problems are, they will emerge maybe better.
Thanks very much, Dan Schor.